You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we bring to you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Gentlemen, what's going on?
So, I don't think we talked a lot about him yesterday, and if we did, the last 24 hours have been a fog. What are you to make of the play of Donovan Wilson? I like Donovan Wilson a lot. It feels like maybe a couple of games this year have not been shining moments for him.
Well, I think that, you know, the way they try to play their defense, you know, they generally don't want to get him in pass coverage. He's more of a run support guy, two deep safety, not a man-to-man cover guy. And whatever the Cowboys were trying to do to create a pass rush, they were getting him in some one-on-one situations. George Kittle's pretty good, right?
That's true.
And probably does that against other teams?
I could absolutely see.
So he was probably a little bit in over his head trying to man coverage. And here's the other thing. If you look at some of the routes, some of those routes were crossing routes, and Purdy had the time of day in the pocket. They just aren't getting pressure on the opposing quarterback. And when that happens, number one, you probably don't have a lot of takeaways. And then number two, you're kind of hanging out your coverage guys to dry because wide receivers and tight ends have, you know, time of day to run their routes. So, you know, I think when something like that happens and you know he's going to be in a lot of man coverage, maybe you use a different safety to be able to play that position, you know, towards the end there when Owarrie got hurt. Mukwamu came in at that cornerback spot. He's played some safeties, been a backup at the nickel spot. And then Wanye Thomas runs pretty well, and I think they kind of went to that maybe in the fourth quarter or at some point in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know that it's Wilson's inability to do that. I think, that's not what he's made to do as a safety. I mean, they don't put him back in single coverage, right, when they play a single safety high. That's Hooker's responsibility, and he plays closer to the line of scrimmage.
Mickey, how do you serve a three-game suspension when you're injured?
Oh, that's a quality question.
You don't get paid.
So that's really the punishment there?
Right, is he's and I think paid. It's like just more than $400,000 he would lose.
Okay.
So that's where the suspension really bites. It's not the fact that you can't play or the team doesn't get you to play. It's you get fined for missing those three games.
And do we know exactly what happened yet?
Or no, is there take your choice. He had two things, right?
Okay.
He had the car thing when he was speeding, I think, and got in the accident.
Yep.
And then got stopped and had, was it like paraphernalia and a
yes, possession of a
gun.
Controlled substance and an unlawful carrying of a weapon.
Which, how do you do that in Texas? I thought it was lawful to carry a weapon anywhere you wanted.
I think it is the combination of
right.
and the controlled
right.
substance.
I remember that came up.
But
yes,
I believe
right.
so.
No, you're right.
Interesting.
But yeah, I was thinking, it's lawful everywhere and they want you to take it to the state fair too.
Yeah, it was a fascinating decision.
Don't get me started.
Okay.
Politics.
But if you want, go ahead. It's up to you.
Mickey, the other thing I was kind of concerned about is they're talking about losing the turnover battle and
right.
that ratio right now. How do they flip that? This defense is designed differently than Dan Quinn's, but then the other side, your offense, it doesn't have the running game that's effective enough to not turn the ball over in the air, in my opinion.
And the offensive line is not providing enough protection for the quarterback, right?
Yeah, and to help.
Look at how the first interception occurred. They call a deep pattern, and he's getting pressured. I believe it was Bosa, and he tries to throw the deep ball off his back foot, and you're going to come up short, right? And he probably didn't see the interception because he was laying on the ground. So if you're not protecting the quarterback, number one, he's not going to be as accurate. He's not going to have enough time to watch routes. And then he's got to make a decision. Do I try this or do I take the sack or do I throw the ball away? Which he should have done on the second interception. You know, he admitted that much after the game. There was nothing there, and he's trying to make something out of nothing. He knows better. But you're behind, and you're trying to force stuff. You get desperate. So to me, it's a lot of the turnovers, especially the interceptions, is pressure in the pocket when you got people nipping at your feet, and the protection has not been good. I mean, think about it. They went into the Detroit game minus one in turnover differential, and then they had five.
Yeah.
Three of them occurred after the score was 40-9, maybe, or 40-6. And two of them, you know, Dak wasn't even in the game. I think it was Turpin had one on a fumble, and then Cooper had an interception in the end zone. And now this last game, yeah, they don't get any takeaways, and you turn the ball over twice, and you get yourself in trouble. So I don't think it's the design of the defense. It's just their inability to get pressure on quarterbacks. So what you're doing, Corey, is you're having to manufacture that pressure because you're not getting it from the front four, right? The defensive ends just aren't getting there. Oh, surprise, because now the fifth and sixth defensive ends as you went into the season are now your starters at defensive end. And they're just not getting pressure. And, you know,
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
You know, a wise man always said, and I think, you know, Parcells was the first one to point it out, is takeaways on defense are created in the pocket. Either you get to a quarterback and he makes a bad decision or you get strip sacks. That's where the fumbles usually occur. Now, every once in a while, you know, we hear all about the peanut punch or whatever it's called, creating a turnover, but the majority happen in the pocket, either hitting the quarterback or roughing him up to the point that he makes a bad decision and throws an interception. So from that aspect, to me, that's been the difference between this year and the previous couple years when they actually led the league in takeaways, or I should say turnover differential.
And I do believe in the postgame, Trayvon Diggs made reference to the peanut punch, did he not?
Sort of, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Depends on which post yes. game you want to talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah. So we were talking about the pressure and the pressure defensively that the Cowboys are getting on the other team. And I realized that is not up to snuff. And we talked about the reasons why. I was curious your takes on Chauncey Golston thus far, because he had some big plays, but also didn't catch the interception that looked like it could have potentially have been a pick six. What have been your thoughts about his play?
I think he's probably as the backups playing defensive end has probably played the best of any of them. Okay. I think that you saw him make a couple
yeah,
plays.
Absolutely.
Now it's kind of hard to criticize a defensive end for not catching the ball, right?
That's fair. And it was kind of flipping around because obviously been tipped and stuff too.
Yeah, and you would hope, right? But I don't know that they sit there on the guns machine and try to catch passes, right? But no, I think he has played the best. I think he has done a nice job in the run game, keeping things inside. And again, we're talking, you know, your fifth best defensive end. You know, if all the other guys got hurt or out for the season, or you're hoping they come back as soon as possible. But, you know, he is what he is. And so I think they've made the most of him out there. And I was I don't know if I kept it or not. The I thought he played a heck of a lot of snaps in the game. He ended up playing 85% of the snaps. I bet that may be close to a career high.
I could see that.
For him. 58 snaps he played. So, yeah, I think he's done a nice job. Now if they can get somebody else to come along with him, it would certainly help. Or
just get all the injured people
healthy,
back.
Right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. You know, when we keep talking and you know, we keep talking about, well, Micah's close. Well, he's got to practice first, and he hasn't done that. And are we at, like, this is the fifth week or the fourth week that he...
I thought it was the fourth, but I'll go back and check on
or
that.
Or it's the fourth game, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's the fifth week if you throw in the bye. And I would think can he miss that much time and practice twice and say good to go? You know, and even if he does... You know, he's probably your designated pass rusher, I would think.
Yeah.
You don't want to, you know, create a problem getting him back too soon. So, yeah, we got to see what happens tomorrow and Wednesday with him to see if he gets back into practice. Same thing with Deron Bland. You know, the last time he practiced, 2 days in a row, and he woke up on Friday with a sore foot. So he's rehabbing. I see him run. He's running well, but it's not playing football. So we got to see what they can do getting through practice.
Is there any chance, Mickey, that you're going to get a Simpsons character?
Oh, yes.
What am I missing?
Okay.
I didn't know, Kevin, if we were going to discuss this today.
We can talk about it as many times as you want. So Corey sent me this link from Sports Business Journal that the NFL, you know how the NFL has been doing kind of like their alternate broadcast and they did Toy Story.
Towards the kids. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly.
Focus. Yeah.
So for a Cowboys game, is it the Bengals?
Yeah, it's against
game?
The Bengals. Simpsons Fun Day Football on December 9th, and, Monday night.
And they're going to have the alt cast with the Simpsons going on.
And Daryl
and the
Strawberry.
Simpsons are broadcasting the game, or they're putting people's their heads on.
Yeah, they're
players.
Simpsonizing all the players. I do
the,
believe
the field is going to look like a Simpsons setup, and then Homer and Bart are going to be
the
supporting each team.
The running backs will
team.
Be OJ.
No.
Oh my gosh! That is...
But yeah, OJ's the game. Simpsons. It'll be a real time Simpsons world using that technology, and I just think it's kind of fun. I just think it's
so
a blast. It was,
it's like the when they did the slime thing, or whatever.
Yes. Have you ever watched The Simpsons, Mickey? Because Mike...
I've seen it, but I don't know that I've watched it.
Okay, because Mike always calls it, you know, the Bart Simpson show, as if he hasn't heard of this cultural phenomenon. So I was just curious if you ever watched.
I must admit, I don't. It's like 30 minutes.
Yes.
I may have watched, you know, like, go by in 1 minute or something by accident.
All right, sounds like
yeah.
a piece
well,
of fun.
I mean, you
watch
know, if
Simpsons
you have kids,
Mickey.
You would watch that, right?
Yeah, you need, I mean, you got
it's
36
not for kids.
Seasons.
Hey,
it's not a kids' cartoon.
It's great to watch.
I will admit, as an adult, when my children are not around, I absolutely watch that show. So
it's comedy, huh?
Yeah, yeah,
oh, yeah. Oh,
comedy.
A kid rides a skateboard and gets in trouble at school, and the sister plays a flute or something.
She plays a saxophone, Mike.
Yeah. Come on, Mike.
And then Marge has big hair and Homer's stupid.
So Mike, he's a fan of it.
Feels like Mike's seen the show. All right.
He's scripting it.
Thank you very
much.
But
I would be flattered if I, yeah.
Yes. That'd be awesome.
Me, right?
We can work on that.
Maybe you work it out and they can do a deal of us talking to each other.
I like this.
Oh, my God.
Split screen, right?
I'm so in on that. We're going to make that happen. Thank you very much, good sir. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
I'll be here. See ya.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.